Hello?
Yes.
I talked to a man the other day that was on the staff of a church, and he said, you know why I left? I said, why? He said, I was the bus director and got to keeping records. And he said, I realized that we had kids that had been saved and baptized 7 times. When your life is driven by rewards, you're going to get discouraged and you're going to get distraught and the results don't come. You're going to get upset. It's not your job to produce the results. It's your responsibility to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And no matter what the conditions are, it's the commandment of God. No matter what the results are, it's the responsibility. Hey, can I tell you today, folks, it's about the Spirit of God, not you, not the servant. Notice what he says in verse 5. He says, thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, or how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. You're not God. And if the Holy Spirit of God and the Spirit of God's not in it, you need to get out of it.
Right.
Well, got quiet, didn't
right.
it?
Yeah.
Many of you wouldn't like to have been Philip. When God took you from the growing, thriving church of Jerusalem and sent you to the desert to reach one man. It's the work of the Spirit. We don't understand how the Spirit works. We don't understand what was going on. Brother Richard was reminding me there the other day. I was preaching in a church one day, and this lady walked up, and I had mentioned something about the chaplain. She said, yeah. She said, my son just got saved at Camp Lejeune. I said, really? She said, this chaplain said he was a real fireball of a preacher. I said, was he about this tall and had no hair? The lady said, yeah, why? I said, that's Chaplain Richard Weeks. It's not your job to understand the Spirit. It's your job to be the servant of God. And it's not all about you. I get so sick and tired of that junk. Preacher didn't ask me to pray. Preacher didn't ask me to sing. Preacher didn't die. I'm just setting your mind for a minute. We don't understand how the Spirit works. I was pastoring back in West Virginia. I'll tell you this and get into the heart of the message. This is just the introduction. I was preaching back in West Virginia and pastoring there. And we took a bunch of people, went to youth camp. And my wife and a lady at youth camp got a burden for a lady at our church that was lost. They started going aside and missing meals and fasting, praying. They'd go out after services and get alone with God and pray, the two of them. I got back from to church that Sunday. Man, I took a bunch of kids to camp. I'd heard preaching all week. Man, I was ready to go. I was fired up. I had 3 points in a poem, had it all alliterated. I was going to impress this church. What a wonderful preacher they had. They're singing. I'm sitting on the front row. Man, I got it all lined out, Brother Stonker. By the time I got from the front row to the pulpit and in that little church, it was from there to here. I couldn't find the notes. I'm fumbling through my Bible. I couldn't find what I wanted to say. I'm back and forth. I'm saying, folks, I got something I want to say. And I'm flipping. I can't find notes. I can't find nothing. It was before the days of iPads, amen. And I couldn't do all that. And I, all of a sudden, God said, if you just shut up, I'd show you what I can do. I said, I don't understand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I no more said that woman shot out of that pew, headed down the altar. She said, I thought you'd never shut up so I could get saved. I don't understand how the Spirit works. I'm not trying to figure it out. It's not my job to get in the way of the Spirit of God. It's not about the servant. It's about the Spirit of God. Now, with all that in mind, he's exhorting us. But in chapter 11, verse 1, now I got to get here. I love this verse. He said, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. It took me a long time in reading that verse and studying it to try to understand what Solomon was saying. He said, cast thy bread. Now, you Bible scholars, you understand. He wasn't saying, go down and get you a loaf of bread and take it down there and throw it on the water. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about the corn, the oats, the wheat, that substance that you make the bread from. He's talking about that seed. And he said, cast thy bread upon the waters. And go back, if you would, Isaiah. Notice he begins to show us what he's talking about. Go to Isaiah chapter 32. He begins to use the Bible as a commentary here.
and he shows us what he's talking about in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 32. He begins to show us, and he tells us in this Bible what he wants us to know. Now watch this. He said, cast thy bread upon the waters. And he says in Isaiah chapter 32, in verse number 20, notice what he says. He said, blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, so that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. He said, blessed are that soweth beside all waters. And if you study the history of this verse in Ecclesiastes 11 and begin to connect Isaiah chapter 32 and read another verse in just a minute in Isaiah chapter 30, what they would do is, in the Bible, does the Bible not say that the God would send the former rains and the latter rain? And what God would do when it was time for them to plant the seed, he would send the former rain, he would send the rain, and it would wet the ground, and times would send so much rain, the water would begin to pond up on the soil, and it almost like it was flooding, and even the rivers would overflow, and the waters would come up and flood the fields at times, and those type of things. And as the water began to recede, the farmer would go out and take his seed and walk through that muddy field and on that water, and he would cast the seed. He would cast his bread. He would cast that seed. He would sow that seed beside all waters. And then as the water settled down, the seed would settle into that moist, rich soil. Amen. They still do the same thing in California. They take the big rice fields, some of the big corn fields, and they bank them up and they flood them with water. And then there's planes will come across those huge fields, open up the chute, and just scatter the seed across the water. And after the seed's been scattered, they open up the drain, let the water settle into the soil, and there's the seed laying on that moist, damp soil. Now, watch what happens. And notice what he says in that verse. Blessed are they, in verse Isaiah chapter 32, verse 20, blessed are they that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Go back to chapter number 30. Isaiah chapter 30, he gives you another verse that ties it together. And this is where we take off. This plane's going to take off. And he says in Isaiah 30, verse 24, the ox likewise and the young ass, asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which have been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. When they would sow that seed on the waters, then they would take the ox, and they would take the ox and go walking through that field with the damp, moist soil, and the feet of that ox would ear the ground. He would push it down, pull it back, and the seed would go down and come back. And his seed would go down and come back. And just simply by that ox walking through the field, he would mix the soil and the seed. He would ear the ground. Study the word. Amen. And so then they would get out, take him out of the field, and just walk away and watch the sun dry the soil and watch the sun warm the seed and watch the other rain come, and the corn would grow and wheat would grow. And folks, that's the process of what was transpiring in this passage of Scripture. You say, preacher, why are you so excited? Hey, that's what we are to do. Amen. We're just to go out and sow the seed on many beside many waters, and we're just the servants of God. And we get in the yoke. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and take my yoke upon me, you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's not my job to produce the results. It's not my job to see what's going on. It's just my job to get in the yoke and ear the ground. Look at Romans chapter 10. Woo! Make a Presbyterian shout right here. Romans chapter 10. What's he say? In Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We like all that, but I like these next verses. Romans chapter 10, and he says in verse number 9, he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and he talks about getting saved. Then he gets down in verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the what? Of them that bring, that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Hey, folks, you know what? God just reached down and he just called Jacob Hughes to go over to Moldova. And all Jacob's supposed to do is sow the seed. And then as a good soldier, as a good servant of God, lean into that yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ and just keep walking them streets of Soroka and keep walking down the aisles and the city streets and the alleys and keep earing the ground and just walking, doing what God told him to do. And after many days, you're going to find it. The crop's going to come up. The seed's going to germinate. The corn's going to grow. God's going to produce a harvest. It's not my job to produce the harvest. It's my job to ear the ground. I like this. Glory to God. Hello? Are you doing what you're supposed to? He said, with the ground where I was at, it's hard. Pray for rain. And then sow the seed and get busy. Now watch this. Go back to Isaiah. I got to get you this. This is one of the messages you just don't want to, where to go to. But look in Isaiah. We were at it just a minute ago, chapter 30. And notice what he says. So this is my responsibility. But notice what happens in Isaiah chapter 30. Notice what he says. Read that verse again now. Verse number 24. The ox likewise and the young asses that ear the ground, watch this, shall eat clean provender, which has been winnowed with the shovel and with fan. You know what he's saying there? They would take that, they'd go out there and they'd bring all that wheat in, and they'd take that wheat and they'd take a shovel and they'd throw it in the air, and the wind would come through and blow the chaff away. Blow the junk away. Amen. And that grain would fall back down. He said, now that's what you feed the ox that ears the ground. Amen. You feed him the good grain. Yeah. The grain that's had all the chaff, all the junk taken out of it. You say, preach, I read my Bible. I don't get anything. Maybe you ought to get out in the field and start earing some ground. Do something for God. And when you get out there and get busy for God, God said, okay, I'll tell you what you need. You need something really good to eat, Brother John. Get that junk boat out of that. Here. When's the last time God gave you some clean grain? I just don't understand, preacher. I don't ever get nothing from God. You ain't going to get enough from God sitting in your house. Sitting in your recliner. My son Tim, Pastor Morrison, he called me the other day. He said, we went down to the car show at Pilot Mountain. Hand out tracks, hand out stuff. Next day, how many visitors showed up? 10. In Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Now, that's not Metropolis, USA. You blink twice, you're through it. Andy's on one end, Barney's on the other. But what he said, what did Rescue Baptist Church do in Pilot Mountain? Went out sowing the seed, ear in the ground, and God brought the increase. I got a feeling some of them folks went home, got to reading their Bible that night and said, never saw that one before. God said, yeah, you were out there doing what you're supposed to, so here's the good grain. Here's the clean stuff. You don't have to have Charles Swindoll to explain it to you. Don't have to have an ESV to make it easier. You can't get good grain out of bad stuff. You're getting ready to get out of college, son. You're going to have to get fed day after day. What does the Bible say? He said, muzzle not the ox that what? You know what God's saying right there?
He's not, I've heard people say, well, you don't want him, you keep the ox muzzled so he doesn't eat the grain. No, what God is saying, don't put a muzzle on him. I'm going to feed him. The one that's treading out the corn. The one that's going through the field, earing the corn. The one that's treading it out. Feed that guy because he's doing the work. God will feed you. The clean stuff. When you're doing the work. Cast thy bread upon the water. Thou shalt find it after many days. Many days you'll find it. Why? You're going to go back to those hard, difficult places. Sometimes, brother, you're going to say, man, what are we doing? Going up them mountains, treading around through them pathways, looking down them slides of rock while you're climbing around them and the rock's falling out from underneath your feet. You're thinking, and your wife's back home going, I hope he ain't over the side of some mountain somewhere. He's treading out. He's ear in the ground. One day there's going to be a church in the Himalayan mountain among the Loa people. Because Justin Levine's some great guy. No, because God put his servant in the yoke. Just been faithful. Why would God take you from Mexico to Panama, bro? Because somebody needs to be treading out the ground in Panama. Why in the world would God move Chaplain Goddard to Henderson Hall in the epicenter of liberalism, Washington, D.C.?
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you why, brother. Because I know enough about you. You're going to get over there with a pocket full of tracts and some Bible.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to start treading out the corn. You're going to start earing the ground. And God's going to thrust you in the middle of the chief of chaplain's office and dignitaries and important officials all over the country. You just keep treading out the ground.
Amen.
And every day you do that, God's going to feed you. God's going to feed you. We got quiet. Isn't it amazing when you read the Bible, what it says? One of these days you're going to go off to Norway, brother. You say, what in the world? Just keep treading out the ground. And God will bring the increase. I went to Gypsy, West Virginia. 18 people went to start a church. They said, preacher, we need somebody to help us. I said, okay. I just bought a brand new pair of cowboy boots back in them days when I could wear cowboy boots. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do, folks. I held my foot up in the pulpit. And I said, I'll wear these out building the church. We went from 18 to 50, 50 to 60, 60 to 70 in a brand new building. How'd that happen? I don't know. Just kept treading out the ground. Just kept hearing the ground. Knock on doors. I'd knock on doors today. Nobody ever come. And then somebody shows up. Nobody knew about it. That's how simple it is, folks, to serve the Lord. Interesting thought. Job says that God put in our foot, our heel. He said he put a print in the heel of your foot. You realize every place you put your foot down in this field of God? He said, oh yeah, Scott Hall was there. Scott Hall was there. Nathan Walker was there. Start walking those hills of Ireland. Brother. More pubs than they have churches. Just keep putting your foot down. God will
while he's bringing the increase, he's going to feed you. Look at this picture. I remember the first time I preached at Calvary Baptist Church in New Philadelphia on a New Year's Eve service in the old building. 1979 or 80. Drove my little Chevy Nova from Massillon High in a snowstorm over in that building. Look at it now. How did this get here? Just kept walked up and down this valley all these years. Preacher, I want this. Find you a valley. Start treading out the corn. Start hearing the ground. And all the time you're doing it, God will feed you. God will feed you. Keep you going. Keep you going. You want to go home and tread out your field? You want to go home and ear your ground? Can't get over it, Jacob. Standing at that monument outside of Soroka. Looks like a needle. And in the base of that monument, it's open, it's rock stacked on top of each other. And you walk in a door in the base of that monument, and around this rock wall that's so thick are hollowed out places. And every one of those hollowed out places has a picture of one of the icons of the Orthodox Church in front. And these Moldovan people walk in there and give this man money. He gives them a little piece of paper. And they write what they want from God on that little piece of paper, fold it up and throw it in that hole behind that icon, thinking that icon's going to take that request to God. And if they can't get close enough to throw it in the hole behind that icon, they stuff it into rocks around that monument. And that moved me. What moved me more is when I turned from that site, there stood Brother Hughes, tear running down his cheek. Haven't seen a lot of fruit yet. Keep ear in the ground. God will keep feeding you. God will keep feeding you, sis. One day the crop's coming up. It's coming in. Now I long for the day to go to Soroka the second time and see it all. Let's pray in the Father. Help us to just ear the ground, tread the field, do the work as only you can. Lord, move in our hearts today, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand our feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. Get discouraged.